This past week, Senate and House Democrats held what's called a shadow hearing, focusing on the actions of ICE in Minnesota, which, of course, Republicans didn't attend. In fact, those Republicans couldn't attend because there is no rational way of defending the actions of ICE, which includes, of course, the killing of two U.S. citizens. Those deaths of Alex Preddy and Renee Nicole Good. Those aren't the only horrors, by the way, perpetrated by ICE. There were numerous witnesses who shared the absolute torture that they endured at the hands of ICE. Here's the testimony from Aliyah Rahman.
Thank you, members, for taking time to be here today, and thank you, staff, for making this happen. My name is Aliyah Rahman, and I am a resident of South Minneapolis. I'm a Bangladeshi American, born in northern Wisconsin, and I'm a disabled person with autism and a traumatic brain injury. Not all autistic brains do this, but mine fixates on sounds, numbers, and patterns. And while what the world saw happened to me exactly 3 weeks ago today on video was a terrible violation, it is still nothing compared to the horrific practices I saw inside the Whipple Center. So I am here today with a duty to the people who have not had the privilege of coming home, and I offer this data because these practices must end now. On January 13th, on the way to my 39th appointment at Hennepin County's Traumatic Brain Injury Center, I encountered a traffic jam caused by ICE vehicles and no signs indicating how to get around it. I had not wanted to pull into a blocked, chaotic intersection, but verbally agreed to do so and rolled down my window after an agent yelled, "Move! I will break your effing window!" His first instruction. Agents on all sides of my vehicle yelled conflicting threats and instructions that I could not process while watching for pedestrians. Then the glass of the passenger side window flew across my face. I yelled, "I'm disabled," at the hands grabbing at me, and an agent said, "Too late." I felt immersed in a pattern, and I thought of Genoa Donald, an autistic black man killed by police during a traffic stop in 2021. I remembered Mr. Sliberio Villaega Gonzalez, who was killed by ICE in his vehicle last year. An agent pulled a large combat knife in front of my face, which I thought was for cutting me, and later learned was used to cut off my seatbelt. Shooting pain went through my head, neck, and wrists when I hit the ground face first and people leaned on my back. I felt the pattern, and I thought of Mr. George Floyd, who was killed 4 blocks away. I was carried face down through the street by my cuffed arms and legs while yelling that I had a brain injury and was disabled. I now cannot lift my arms normally. I was never asked for ID, never told I was under arrest, never read my rights, and never charged with a crime. Approaching the Whipple Center, I saw black and brown bodies shackled together, chained together, being marched by yelling agents outdoors. I continue to hear the word bodies because that is how agents refer to us. We're bringing in a body. They're bringing in bodies 7, 8 at a time. Where do I put them? We can't use that room. There's already a body in there. You have no reason to believe you will make it out alive if you are already being called a body. Agents repeatedly had to stop and ask how to do tasks. I received no medical screening, phone call, or access to a lawyer. I was denied a communication navigator when my speech began to slur. Agents laughed as I tried to immobilize my own neck. I asked for my cane and was told no, pulled up my arms and prodded forward in leg irons by agents laughing and saying, "Walk, you can do it, walk." Agents did not know if the facility had a wheelchair. When I was finally placed in one to be taken to interrogation, an agent taunted, "You were driving, right? So your legs do work." I pleaded for emergency medical care for over an hour after my vision had become blurry, my heart rate went through the roof, and the pain in my neck and head became unbearable. It was denied. When I became unable to speak, my cellmate pleaded for me. The last sounds I remember before I blacked out on the cell floor were my cellmate banging on the door, pleading for a medic, and a voice outside saying, "We don't want to step on ICE's toes." When I opened my eyes at Hennepin County's emergency room, I learned I was brought there to be treated for assault. The impacts of DHS detention on my physical, mental, and financial well-being and safety have been very severe, but I do not deserve more humane treatment than anyone else, U.S. citizen or not. And I am here today with a strong spirit and a duty to the many people who haven't had the privilege to tell their stories or see their loved ones come home. I am extremely distressed by the pattern that violence from law enforcement has been happening to Black and Indigenous communities for centuries, and to DHS survivors for over 20 years. We call ourselves a civilized nation, but we lack rules and accountability around what a person claiming to be law enforcement is permitted to do to another human being. I am not afraid, and I'm not afraid to keep working on this problem even after ICE is gone. Thank you for your time.
No, this is not America. But thanks to Donald Trump and others, it's what America is becoming. It's an America where when people hear Ms. Rahman express her pain and her fear, they laugh. They actually freaking laugh. I've seen people, just because she has a Hispanic name and brown skin, question whether she's here legally. These scum actually do serve a purpose, by the way, which later on in the show I'll reveal what that purpose is. We also had Representative Robert Garcia reveal some of the torment that another witness, Miramar Martinez, suffered through from these fat slobs of ICE. Let's go back and listen to that from Representative Garcia.
"We know that they're calling some of you and Americans across this country terrorists and anarchists. And I want to be clear that President Trump and his administration continue to lie about what they're doing over and over again. I want to start with Ms. Martinez. You shared a heartbreaking story, and I just want to go over some information on the record again to be very clear. You were shot 5 times, which is terrifying and horrific. Your own government called you a domestic terrorist. Is that correct?"
"Correct."
"And you're not a terrorist, of course, correct?"
"No, I'm not."
"You're a teacher, is that right?"
"Mm-hmm. Yes, correct."
"You were convicted of no crimes, is that correct?"
"Correct."
"Have you ever been convicted of a crime?"
"Never."
"Never been convicted of a crime. But the government kept calling you a domestic terrorist even after all the baseless criminal charges against you were dismissed, is that correct?"
"Yes, correct."
"Would you agree that the government is trying to intimidate protesters and to encourage more violence?"
"Yes."
"Is it true that in the body cam footage, the CBP officer told you to, and I'm so sorry for saying this, the officer told you to, quote, do something, bitch, before he fired?"
"Yes."
"It's disgusting, shameful, and it gets worse. Ms. Martinez, these are images of texts sent by the agent who shot you. And they're actually disturbing to read, but I think it's important for the public to see this. The agent linked an article about your shooting and texted, read it, 5 shots, 7 holes. I fired 5 rounds and she had 7 holes. Put that in your book, boys. Oh, well, it is what it is. It happens. This is someone that works for the United States government. I fired 5 rounds and she had 7 holes. Now, he was talking about you, And it's our understanding that he was actually bragging about his aim, shooting an unarmed American citizen. Is that right?
Correct.
I'm so sorry, Ms. Martinez. DHS has allowed the agent who shot you to remove evidence and to potentially destroy it. Is that correct?
Correct.
They're actively working to deny you justice to an American citizen who's been shot and almost murdered. I'm so sorry.
All that we've seen and continue to see unfold, again, is not what America was designed or ordained to be. Even more dire is that if this is allowed to continue, then America, as envisioned by our founders, will, without question, cease to be.